Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 103, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yeah. A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck Koch Industries, as in the Koch brothers, and fuck Fox News.
Fuck them.
It's Friday, October 11th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Because I went to film school, Fartin Scorsese, a.k.a. Steven Soderbergh, a.k.a. Stanley Kubrick, a.k.a. Spike P. Those are, of course, courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi, man, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Smoke on the dab rig! Is Miles getting high? Drop the fucking ball.
Thank you, Hannah Soltis, for that deep purple, because I'm smoking deep purple every damn day. Smoke on the Water. Used to play that in the marching band a lot during high school football games.
Oh, word?
It's just an easy little riff, dude.
Okay.
It was pretty chill.
What did you play again?
I played the trumpet because named after Miles Davis, and that became a terrible
obligation.
Dude, the fucking pressure of finding out, I don't know if anyone has this, but when your name is something, I was like, then I have to do this.
Yeah.
Bringing me into the world of music.
And welcome
for
to
that,
my high school basketball career.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented comic artist, Anna Salinas.
What's up?
What's up?
Welcome.
Thank you. The name thing, I share a name with Anna Kournikova. That was the only Anna.
You were named after Anna Kournikova.
Yeah, we're around the same age, but I was 100% named after her. No, she's older.
Is she? I mean, enough that your parents go, and we will name our daughter after this sort of good but hot tennis player.
Right.
What a scam, too. She was never
good.
Good.
No. It was just because she became famous around the time that like Maxim was a thing. And yeah. I think she was like perfect for that.
Yeah. And it's a scam too, because like most tennis players are pretty hot. Yeah. So she wasn't even uniquely hot.
Yeah.
I think because she, at the time, I think we were still in between our 80s and like our Monica Seles's Steffi Graf era of tennis players. And we just wanted another hot girl summer.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because then, like, and then Maria Sharapova kind of took that on because she was a better tennis player.
Oh, Once now she came the GOAT, in, they were Serena. Like, forget Anna Kournikova.
Oh, yeah. And Anna Kournikova is an afterthought.
That's
now.
True. Now we have Serena, and it's like, why did we fuck around with bad, hot tennis players?
Well, I mean, now, you know, she's in her, like, custom off-white apparel. It's it's a moment.
Icon. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We are going to talk about how the Ellen George W. Bush thing kind of continues to linger, and just is this a general shifting of the national appetite for this bullshit? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the whistleblower. Have you guys heard about this? The whistleblower scandal. There's a Fox News poll,
that Fox News did. Uh-oh.
That is, Fox News actually has a respected polling outfit, and they found that 51% of Americans want Trump removed from office.
They admitted that?
They did. So their polling unit is actually like one of the only respected parts of the Fox News organization, apparatus. But the front page story on those poll results was like just a picture of Trump, and it said a new high.
Oh, wow.
So it was like they were trying to bury it, I guess. But
wow. It's like, well, we got to report this, I guess. So maybe he'll just look at the headline and not click.
He won't click. There's no way he clicks through things.
Oh, he did. He's tweeting like a fucking child now.
But
like,
this has been the top headline on Drudge Report ever since. So,
and they're not obscuring it?
No, Drudge is not obscuring it. The very top headline is a picture of Donald Trump looking grumpy.
Is it
and
sirens?
It says Fox shock.
It's sirens?
51% want Trump removed. There was sirens at first.
Okay.
Sirens only last for like 20 minutes, Miles.
Oh, really?
And then he takes them off usually unless it's like 9/11.
But it was sirens.
It was sirens.
Okay, that's how you know. It's sirens?
Mm. Sirens up in here. We're going to talk about the fact that Giuliani, basically what people are referring to as Trump's Watergate burglars. Giuliani's two homies from Ukraine were arrested for campaign finance violations. And when you look at kind of all the different pots they have their fingers in, they seem to be like the Forrest Gump of this conspiracy. Like they're just everywhere in the Trump. They're there for everything. We're going to talk about Joshua Brown, who was murdered and was one of the witnesses in Botham Jean's killing against Amber Geiger. We're going to talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine. We're going to talk about Sesame Street having a new character whose mom is an opioid addict. We're going to talk about the Harry Potter con. There's some real heavy subjects being discussed there.
These panels are not for the weak.
Here for it.
Yeah.
But Anna, first, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay. I recently Googled, do shrooms have an expiration date? Because I guess this is fine to admit. My mom doesn't
listen
to podcasts.
You have old shrooms in your freezer?
Yeah. Not my freezer.
Oh.
My fridge. I got them in May for Edgar's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
They're chocolate mushrooms. I forgot that he's allergic to chocolate, not to mushrooms. So he couldn't eat them. So I was like, maybe I'll just like have them and do them at some point. But instead of putting in the freezer, I put it in the fridge because I was like, maybe if they freeze, the psilocybin
could be
get destroyed.
Inert or something, right?
Right.
They're wrapped in tinfoil, but they were not in a plastic bag.
Uh-oh.
Fast forward to 2 weeks ago when I rented an Airbnb Airstream trailer in Joshua Tree by myself.
Just to get right? Okay.
Yeah. And I had been watching that show, Explained, I think it is, about like Explained, the brain.
Show?
Yeah, on Netflix.
On Netflix, yeah.
And they have an episode
Vox,
on tripping and I was like, oh man, you know, tripping is like that. That makes you get it.
Right.
That makes you really get it. And I had, you know, in college, messed with that. Mm. But it's been many years since then, and I was like, I should just do them. I should just drive out and do them. And I didn't get to Joshua Tree until maybe 6 p.m. because of all the traffic on a Friday afternoon.
A tough drive.
It took like 4 hours.
You might as well drive to San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah, truly. I finally got there just before the sun was about to set, and I was like, oh, should I do them? Should I do them? And I was sitting on my little Airstream trailer bed, like trying to decide, oh, should I do it? And then all of a sudden something came over me because I had brought them just in case. And I was afraid I would die. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they were old.
Does. Yes.
And I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. And I went and I ate it. And at first I didn't feel anything. And I was like, oh, they expired. I don't feel it. I'll have a little more.
Oh, no.
Because I had two.
Just have a bite and wait.
Had a little more. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the sun went down. And they went
all of a sudden
wild.
Right. Yeah.
And I had like brought things to do.
Right.
Like some watercolor paints and a ukulele, but didn't realize that when it's dark and you're in the middle of the desert alone, you don't really want to paint or play ukulele. You're just like
kind of like, you're like, what's out there? What's
yeah,
out there?
Exactly. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, my Airbnb host, because there was a guy in a house, you know, a bit away. I was like, he's going to come and kill me. Oh my God, wow. I just ate old mushrooms. They're going to find me dead. They're going to find me dead. Oh my God.
So you were like the snowball scene in Willow. What started with two people just kind of falling down a mountain turned into a near avalanche near the bottom.
It was so stressful. I kept looking at my phone like, should I text someone? No, I can't text them. Because, like, what would I even say?
Yeah.
What do I say in a text message? I can't even explain this.
You're
right
in Airstream. Ukulele's useless. Also, neighbor is killer.
I know. So I was just walking around the Airstream, and they had a beer, and then I drank the beer, and I was like, oh, now I feel woozy. And then I went into the bathroom, and I was convinced I was in a painting.
This all sounds right.
Because you feel the strokes on your face are paint strokes.
The strokes on your face. You even sound like you're on mushrooms now.
I'm flashing back.
The strokes on your face are paint strokes.
I know. I when just like, I couldn't even walk really. I was like stumbling around. And I finally at 11 p.m. You know.
Started to return.
Yeah. When they start wearing off. By that point, I was watching Disenchanted on Netflix, like gripping to reality. Right. Like, this is fine.
Well, see, this is why you gotta start off a little bit light. You know what I mean? Take a little nibble and just let it chill, because you never know how your body's gonna process it. This is the same thing people do with edible weed. They take a bite and they're like, that was fine. It was plus there's just one little chocolate.
Right.
And the second one didn't do anything. Hungry. Cut to you like peeling somebody off the floor.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's why also I don't like to have full blown trips really on psychedelics these days. Yeah. I like to like microdose.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what I want to do now. But if anyone is curious,
they don't go bad.
Yeah. You can leave them in the fridge.
They will go bad if you don't leave them in the fridge.
Yes.
And start growing their own mushrooms off of them.
I had some that I took them out and like was looking through them, and there were bugs in there.
Oh.
That was really fucking
And crazy. Were they That's like, horrifying. Hey, man, you want to talk for a second? You're like, oh, God.
Those bugs were driven
so
balls.
So fucked up. What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, let's see. I think that... I hate to say it, but the new Taylor Swift album.
What?
Kind of slaps.
What? No, I'm sorry. Overrated.
Oh, this is overrated.
Oh, that's underrated.
Oh,
sorry. I spilled the beans on my underrated.
Okay, we'll cut that
Let's
out.
Let's do underrated.
Oh, fuck it.
Okay, Let's do underrated first.
Oh,
so
good.
It's a slap. It's a slaparoo. It's a banger.
Yeah, I thought you guys were like, we hate Taylor Swift on this podcast.
No.
I'm ambivalent.
She is
I like Carly Rae Jepsen more now.
Oh, fuck that. That's
okay. You know what I mean?
Bonkers.
I was listening to that old one. Yo, her lyrics seem a little more meaningful to me.
Oh, well, okay.
Because I was listening to that new Taylor Swift, and I was like, this seems a little bit
derivative.
Very simple.
Okay, here's my counterpoint.
Okay.
I saw her perform Lover at during SNL, stripped down, and I was like, this is actually the best I've ever heard her sing, because like her poppy stuff,
it's very
I'm not a big fan of, like Bad Blood was maybe the worst song ever, and just her optics suck too, but because she's so like white feminism. But man, that performance moved me. And then I went and I Googled, and she talks about how like she recorded it all by herself without anyone else.
In
she
an
wrote
Airstream
the whole song
on mushrooms.
In mushrooms. Ugh, right? Like you're supposed to come out of that with something. But she did it all by herself. And then the thought process behind the album was she wanted it to be something you could have been like performed at a wedding in the 1970s.
Oh, wow.
Like something timeless.
Real concept.
Right.
Okay. No, I mean, I think I it's weird. When did the album come out? Like in the last 3 months? A
couple months ago, yeah.
Oh, damn.
Because I feel like it didn't have... What was the whole battle? Because who was it? Was it Lil Nas X was keeping her off the... Who? Somebody was keeping her off the chart for one of her singles,
I feel like he bumped
Tool.
Her.
Oh, Tool.
What?
That's it was Tool.
Yeah.
I
guess
Tool
fans...
Lil Nas X of their day.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've heard good things about this album. I think people were thrown off by, there were those two, maybe three super poppy songs that came out that were like released, and one of them was like very much like culture appropriation of like, you know, the LGBTQ movement. And, like,
oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people
she's
were just
a little
like,
that.
Eh.
Yeah.
But people still rock to that, I think.
Yeah.
What was the thing she said? Like, Shade never made anybody gay or something like that?
Yeah.
The lyric
and he never made anybody less gay.
Oh,
right.
Okay. So you,
what?
Someone listens to that
one. What? No, I don't know. I've never heard it. but I still think Shake It Off is one of our great.
You always, that's
phenomenal
your home base.
Song.
Love I feel
song.
Like whenever this Taylor Swift
never
is brought up,
old.
You can almost expect Jack will round out the take with, and honestly, Shake It Off is actually one of the best songs
really?
I've ever heard.
What a good take.
Yeah.
You can't listen to that song and not stop
I think I've
shaking.
Like rediscovered it when, because it's a hit. It's one of those songs that's become like incorporated into like children's music classes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I rediscovered it then being sung by like children and
sung
by people who aren't Taylor Swift, and like it just sounds
still
great
works.
No matter what. It's just a good song.
I mean, the horns, if someone like could do a real like a heavier edit of that, I think, and you have a real I want to blow my doors off my car with that song sometimes.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. But you would need like a 100-person brass band for the version I'm envisioning.
Oh, I would love that. Like a
I'm sure there's a
Chance
halftime
the Rapper,
show.
Sunday Candy style.
Mm-hmm.
Big. I can't talk about Chance without being like, God, that album was so bad.
I know.
Yeah.
He loves his wife.
Bums me out.
Isn't that the gist of it?
Yes.
That is,
he loves his wife and his family.
And isn't there like a secret
so
song at the end where he's kind of like trolling himself?
Oh,
like,
is there?
There's like
where
a hidden track
himself,
where he's
like,
oh,
I love my wife.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hey, at least he's self-aware.
I guess.
Anna, what is something that is overrated?
Okay. Well, I have two things. Which do I choose? Neither very topical.
I like that, though.
Yeah,
it's
right?
Specific. Get specific. Okay. Hit us with it.
Well, the Downton Abbey movie.
Wow.
Is I actually made Edgar go see it with me.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar had never seen an episode of Downton Abbey in his life.
Edgar
Mopplesir, here.
Co-host of Culture Kings.
Yes.
That's right. Edgar
you dragged
Mopplesir.
Him you dragged him to Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I was sad cuz I had been cut from Harold Knight at UCB.
Oh.
It was a real blow.
Fuck UCB.
I'm doing better. Yeah,
that's
fuck
overrated.
UCB.
Yeah, honestly, bro.
But so I was sad and I wanted to do something, and I Los Feliz 3 was playing the movie, and I had seen maybe a season of Downton Abbey.
Sure.
I thought, how hard is it going
to
be
to jump?
Keep up?
Right.
First of all, very hard. They don't explain
not a standalone piece.
Anything. It is not a standalone piece. There's so many characters that like they just don't introduce at all. It was like there's all these like weird beefs and relationships that I did not understand. But the most disappointing thing about this movie is there are zero stakes. Like,
oh, really?
The whole movie is that the queen is coming to visit, but the queen brings her own servants. And that means the Downton Abbey servants
don't have to do nothing.
Don't have to work. But
sorry,
they're mad about that.
For a second.
It's crazy. And then at the end, as if it was, and I'm like on my phone during this movie.
Oh, shit. That's disrespectful.
It's disrespectful. But that's how bad
it was. Yeah, but that's
the
a sign.
The theater is full of like older white women who are on the floor cracking up. Like, they've never heard
funny?
Jokes funnier than this. Because Maggie Smith has some zingers.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, where she's like a sassy lady.
Okay. All right, Maggie.
At the very end of it, one of the maids is talking.
Spoilers. Spoilers, guys.
Spoilers for the Downton Abbey film.
Spoilers.
Just,
you know,
skip ahead 30
this
seconds.
This is a spoiler. Talking to the lady of the house.
Uh-huh.
Mrs. Lady Downton. Mary.
Okay.
The fame.
Abby.
The daughter, basically. Oh. Yeah, Abby of the Downtons. And Lady Mary's like, you know, is this really worth it? Having a whole staff and an estate? Maybe we should just sell it. I mean, England's changing. Maybe we shouldn't have an estate with servants. And the servant, the maid, goes, no, this is for us.
Oh, cool.
This whole community is relying on you.
My skin just started crawling off my body. Right.
You have to keep this going. And it's like, what?
What was the point?
In what world is this like, it's essentially feudalism.
Right.
Good for the servants?
Well, you know, because in their mind, they're like, you're not about to take my job, motherfucker.
They're like that, but it's like, Jesus. On top of everything else, this movie is like such a die-hard endorsement of feudalism.
Right.
Or just, like, the
class.
Nice caste system.
The caste, the archaic caste system.
And this is the only thing that gives my life meaning.
Yeah, they that's it.
I have nothing without you.
Yeah. Not worth your $8.
Hmm.
Good thing you saw it there, though, at an $8 theater.
God, can you imagine?
Have you seen Gosford Park?
Yeah, I have.
I feel like that's a good movie that accomplishes the same thing as Downton Abbey.
It has
murder.
Yes.
Which a movie should.
It's like Stakes. Succession.
Yes.
Succession works because you see they're bad people.
Right.
Right.
And but you know, you meet people though who don't get that it's a critique of
kind
of well. Have you?
Always.
I've seen people write shit like that. I'm like, what the fuck are y'all talking about?
Right.
They're like, oh, Roman is like so cool.
Roman's
he's
so
like
tight, dude.
He's like actually like the chillest character. Like, I would love to hang with Roman. You're like, dude, fuck.
No, you would not.
Are you kidding me?
Also, he would not hang with you. Unless
I'm like
you're
a
very
Roman
rich.
Mixed with like a Tom when he's around Greg. You know, like that's how I treat like my lessers.
Yeah.
With like Shiv's butt.
Right.
Yo.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I always say. I'm a Tom
with Shiv's fidelity.
People don't there aren't enough write-ups about Siobhan's curves.
And they are blessed.
What's going on in Australia?
Is she Australian?
She's Australian. Yeah. Sarah Snook, the actress. Yeah. And I remember I was watching with Her Majesty. She's like, you didn't notice? I was like, half the time I'm doing something
it's
else.
It's not your fault. Because they shoot around.
They're cropping her out. This second season, there are some wide shots of her just walking across open space.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm okay.
And they put her in like loose pants.
They do.
Yeah.
And like,
right.
They really camouflage it.
In
but
her
once
wedding
you
dress,
see,
I was like,
yes.
I think she's dummy thick.
Yeah. She's got a banging body. And all for Tom? I mean, not all for Tom,
That is my life motto. All for Tom.
All for Tom.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
This is a good question. I think people think that WeWork is going to topple.
They do.
Right?
A lot of people think that, actually.
Especially a lot of the investment bankers.
Yeah.
I recently went to WeWork for the first time.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's for people who need a workspace.
Yeah.
I think it's a great solution for people who need a focused workspace.
Yeah, they
not
have
good
free
to do a podcast
food. Did you guys do
Dude,
a podcast?
Our first few months,
couple months,
were in a WeWork,
recorded out of a WeWork,
but in
oh
a fucking broom closet.
Yeah,
like we were like, nah, we can't really be in here. It's all glass. Like we need to record,
right.
And they're
that
like, well,
true.
There's this thing, and it was literally the size of this room.
Right.
Oh my god. But why are they not preparing for podcasting?
Yeah. They were like, oh, podcasting. Right.
Maybe WeWork is about to go.
I think they have some financial issues right now.
Right.
That are causing, they're basically valued as a tech company, and tech companies get the benefit of the doubt of like a 100x valuation of like what they're worth. It is like they'll give them like they're worth 100 times what they're actually bringing in.
Right.
But they did like filings and, you know, transparency for going public, people were like, oh, you're a real estate company, which is only like 3 to 8 times
sure.
the valuation. So I think that's what people are reacting to. Well, but I agree. They have like a good ethos.
Well, the
like
CEO good, is also wilding out with his spending.
Stepped down, yeah.
Yeah, oh, they really? Were like, whoa.
But they kicked him out. He's out.
Yeah, but I think it's the same thing like with Travis Kalanick, right, at Uber. Like they had these like sort of like really charismatic people at the top who were kind of fucking it up at the same time. Kind of, in this case, probably was. But look, at the end of the day, I miss the spa water. At the WeWork.
Yeah.
There was nothing more luxurious when I had left my other job to start working with Jack and, you know, giving the people this art, this fucking, this philosophy that I was like, I'm moving up. They have fucking mango in the water here.
I'd say at least 20% of the Daily Zeitgeist's DNA is spa water.
It's spa WeWork. Water, yeah.
It lingers.
Spa water, yeah.
Right?
It still smells like a spa in this recording.
In fact, when
studio.
I walked in, I was like, where's the jacuzzi? Because I could smell that.
Which one did you go to? The one right there on La Brea?
I've actually been to two.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm doing this like lab, right? This episodic lab. And part of it is we get a month-long WeWork membership.
Oh, cool.
So I've been to the one in Century City, which is beautiful.
Beautiful, I'm sure. Mm.
Really beautiful. They got beer on tap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
The beer on tap. They got LaCroix, but you do have to pay for them.
Okay. You have to pay for the LaCroix?
Yeah.
Free beer, but the LaCroix? You better have a fucking dollar.
Right.
Yeah, unfortunately. And I went to the one in Hollywood, which is big.
Hollywood, right here. And La Brea.
It's right next to us. In fact, that's the one I go
Highland,
to more because it's by me. Yeah.
Or not Highland. What am I fucking saying? It's La Brea, right?
Yeah.
Yes. At the end of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have like, there was free Korean food the other day.
What?
Every day
the
they have like a little
was, like,
freebie.
The best we got was snagging a Starburst from like the check-in desk.
Yeah, they do have candy at the check-in desk. I don't know. I'm happy about it. I just wish there was more food.
Oh wow!
If this career in Hollywood doesn't work out, I might start my own WeWork called WeFood.
Yeah, WeFeed.
WeFeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where it's because like, do you really want a workspace where there isn't food?
See, this is what you do. You start identifying distressed hometown buffets and offering to save them and be like, now I'm turning this into a workspace / hometown buffet.
Oh my God, yes. Mm-hmm.
But like a WeWork that was like based on the like food collective model where it's just, you know, the people are actually invested in it.
Oh,
I feel like
right.
that works better than like a IPO-ing corporatocracy that's like, we're going to fucking make 8X or, you know, whatever.
That's true. Look, I could do it better.
Yeah.
Do that.
I got it. Look, it beats a fucking Starbucks. I'll tell you that.
I do think like we need some solutions for how like lonely our culture is like building out to
yes.
be.
So,
like,
that's the thing
actual,
too. Yeah,
like, work club where people can actually do their work and be around other people would be cool.
Yeah.
Well, shit. I think we solved it, guys.
Boom.
We're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. And real quick, I just want to, we've already talked about the Ellen thing, her, you know, non-apology, where she addressed the fact that she's friends with George W. Bush. And there's just been kind of a sustained backlash to that I thought was worth acknowledging, because, you know, it obviously rang false, but I feel like it almost rang more false than it would have, like, a year ago. Like,
right.
It seems like there's something new going on. Like, so somebody mm-hmm. photoshopped like photographs of Bush's war crimes into the background, and Ellen immediately, or Ellen's people, or, you know, whoever it is, was having those videos taken down all over Twitter. And of course, you can't
very chill
do that.
Very
yeah,
chill
very
Ellen.
Chill move. And it kind of rhymes with, like, what's going on with the NBA and trying to cover up, like, keep anybody involved with the NBA from talking about China while also being like, we support free speech.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know. A person was holding a protest sign at a game, at an NBA game, and was, and not like a controversial protest sign, it just said like, free Hong Kong. And they were, I think either they or their sign was removed from the game.
Wow.
You know, that's their right as a company, but... it also seems
just disingenuous to be like, oh, well, you know, we also stand by freedom of speech. It's like, you don't.
You
stand by freedom to get this motherfucking
money. And they're on day like 70 of protests right now, aren't they?
Oh my God.
It's wild.
Yeah. It's been over 4 months, I think,
Somebody captured all the tweets of celebrities responding to Ellen's video. Like Snooki gave it clap hands, Kendall Jenner.
Snooki gave a clap
hands. three exclamations,
the
three
queen
hearts.
Has spoken.
I'm like, well,
Jamie
hold on.
Fox,
what did
thank
Nicole Polizzi
you
say?
Very much for that. So needed and necessary,
Jamie
says
Fox.
Jamie
Fox.
Yeah. Jennifer Garner. Ellen! Exclamation point. You are amazing!
Jennifer Garner is the most boring celebrity.
Orlando Bloom, heart, prayer hands, praise hands.
Heart, prayer, pray. Pray love.
Lenny Kravitz, let love rule.
Jesus.
And Reese Witherspoon, exactly, bullseye emoji. And she has since deleted that.
Good.
But
good.
Yeah, I don't know.
It just shows you get to a certain level, you're out of touch.
Yeah.
And you don't see people for what their actions are. You see people for their net worth, and that's your uniting principle. And I think is this sort of, people just aren't really into this shit of thinking celebrities can do no wrong, or like it's chill.
Yeah.
There's like, I think that's what it is. There's a bit of resentment growing for people who are not wealthy.
Yeah.
To look at these people and be like, y'all don't fucking even get it. And well, like, this is, there's a, you can
a
feel
resentment.
It. Yeah,
I was saying before that, like in the 80s and 90s, like that was, the default was a healthy skepticism towards mainstream culture and like celebrities. And then that stuff sort of went away with the internet for whatever reason.
Well, hippies got rich in the 80s and left that shit behind.
You're right.
Right.
Then all the economy was fucking pumping for the next two decades. And then people were like, you know, I think it's easier, especially in the 90s and early 2000s, to worship celebrity culture and things like that, because the economy still felt like you could get there.
Yeah. Right.
And now we're
like
in a place where nihilism has like become the attitude of younger people too. It's like, that shit ain't happening for me, and I don't give a fuck. I'll eat rocks all day, and I hate your Bugatti.
Right.
Yeah, I do eat rocks.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, just in general, I think our attitudes are shifting because we no longer see that as like appropriate or attainable or acceptable. So it's less likely for people on the like who don't have means to applaud like these sort of displays of wealth or buddying up with people who are war criminals.
Right.
Yeah. And he was never held accountable. We just kind of forgave George Bush because he started drawing puppies. I know this is not a new take, but I think that is the biggest problem. Like, you can't, it's not all love when the person you're rubbing up on, like, just went free after starting the Iraq War and starting Afghanistan.
Yep. And I think it also might have something to do with the story we're going to cover next, which is the whistleblower. Because as public sentiment for that continues to kind of move in the direction of, oh, okay, so this guy is a con artist, maybe.
He's a con artist.
You know, he is our first celebrity president, so there could be like a...
Ronald Reagan was one.
Yeah, that's true. He was a politician, though, after he was a celebrity, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Where this is just, but I don't know. I don't know if it is necessarily connected, but so I was ready to. I was in a very dark place yesterday, and after recording, Fox News released a poll that said 51% of Americans want Trump removed from office. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that letter did not help, and the Syria thing did not help either.
Right.
The fully turning our backs on our allies, like the Kurds who have helped us fight ISIS and leaving them to die.
Yes.
Yeah. I think really, not ironically, but that opened a lot of people's eyes, especially for people who are more interested in foreign policy or defense, that it's like, that's just, like, then our word means shit completely. I mean, the U.S. will already betray whoever the fuck it does. Yeah. But especially for people who are like, there were interviews with soldiers, too, who are in Syria, who are like, I feel fucking terrible. Like, I was just fighting with these people, like with them, alongside them, to defend, like, these positions. And now I'm having to be like, peace out. And it feels terrible. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of that sentiment, too, that's creeping into it. But, yeah, getting to, before, last week, it was like at 47% people wanted him removed. And so, yeah, now that we've hit a majority...
That's so much.
Wow. Yeah, that's clearly triggered the, panic response from Trump. Or it only made it worse because,
His response was to a tweet yesterday morning saying, from the day I announced I was running for president, I have never had a good Fox News poll. Whoever their pollster is, they suck.
He said they suck?
They suck. But at Fox News is also much different than it used to be in the good old days with people like Andrew Napolitano, longtime Trump friend, who wanted to be a Supreme Court justice, and I turned him down. He's been terrible ever since. Shep Smith and at Donna Brazile, who gave Crooked Hillary the debate questions and got fired from CNN, and others at Fox News doesn't deliver for us anymore. It is so different than it used to be. Oh, well, I'm president.
Oh.
Wow, he literally said, well, your pollster sucks and I'm president.
Right.
God.
It's amazing.
It's fucking
tragic. Okay. If you are all of the neighborhood my parents live in with Trump signs in your front yard, mm-hmm. you're not looking at the global stuff.
Right.
So has something, what has then maybe been the shift for them? Like your Fox News watcher, is it a suspicion that like maybe this guy's
Well, I think because
corrupt?
On Fox, even in their, like a lot of the people who are appearing on there aren't fully obscuring what's going on. There are people who are completely smoke
right.
screening it, but
yeah.
there are people who go on there and be like, this isn't actually, I wouldn't say that this is the best move for the, like there are people who are articulating that. And I think that
right.
could be the where people are like, oh,
there's
really?
An iota of freedom of speech.
Yeah. Or just yeah. this idea. Yeah. Or someone is being slightly objective there.
Yeah.
But right. then they will get completely shouted down.
Yeah.
Because then you, it's, so it all depends on what time you're watching. Because if it's during the news cycle time of day on Fox,
right.
you will hear those things. But once it shifts to the opinion time of day,
right.
then
and
it's
like
just
the morning
full on defense.
Crew
Although,
or whatever.
Tucker Carlson did write, a, like we talked about, I think yesterday, he did pen an op-ed where he was like, this is indefensible.
About
but
what?
Didn't say it was impeached, like he should impeach. The
Wait,
president's
the
actions,
thing or
the
no,
Ukraine
the president,
stuff?
The, yeah, the president's actions around the phone call were indefensible.
Oh, wow.
Wow, and a white supremacist is against you.
Right.
Who do you have?
Well, yeah, and I think that's where you wonder, like, who, if the the powers that really be are really trying to be like, okay, yeah. do we cut our ties?
I think it, I'm also very cynical that it means any sort of good shift. Like, maybe that is it, where you have the Republican authorities being like, okay, let's, we have our strategy in place for when we totally disown him.
Right.
And who we're going to, like, how we're going to spin this
yeah.
so that it makes us look like we're good. Because it's bad PR for a party to be impeached, but then again,
it looks better if you can say, well, we actually purged the disease from our party, but it's too late now. I mean, they've been complicit in every single thing up until this point, so I hope
oh my
people
God,
do
like
the,
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, but again, you know, a few months could pass and we'll pretend like they weren't front row at this whole thing. Yeah.
Right. And I mean, 538 had an article also linked near the top of Drudge that was about how it took Republicans a long time to turn on Nixon. So just kind of covering
right.
that as, you know, possibly we're in the early stages of what of witnessing a president get taken down. And it's just, you know, the it's happening pretty quickly. Even 538 has like the polling average and it's 49.3 support, impeachment 43.4 don't. So, yeah, it's still, it seems like it's moving in that direction. But there was also just kind of a stark visual because there was a anti-impeachment rally, in Utah and it was organized by, I think the Trump
his
re-election,
like re-election campaign, yeah.
re-election campaign, and the people who showed up to that were outnumbered by pro-impeachment people who were there. Like
that's cool.
Yeah, with signs saying "Conservatives stand for the rule of law."
Yeah,
so.
And there are people who are
Even
saying like,
Utah.
"I'm a Republican and I support the impeachment inquiry."
Yeah.
I mean, I think to a certain point, right? I feel if you do believe in something like the sentiment that you should keep your word. Or honor your word.
Right.
I think that's a thing a lot of people are raised with on mm-hmm. some level, whether or not you follow that to the law. I think that this can be really offensive to those people.
Right.
Where it's like, you keep your word, you don't lie. That's just how we maintain shit.
Right.
So, yeah it's nice to see, you know, because I think they're also there to support Mitt Romney, their senator, who has also been the only really, truly vocal Republican. Not so far as to be like, yo, let's get this motherfucker out, but
he's,
being like,
yeah.
this is bullshit.
He's,
this is bad.
As far as you can go, he's gone.
Yeah.
Or as
well,
far as
I mean,
has been gone.
As far as right. they are comfortable to
right.
go.
Yeah.
But there's still a long way to go because he's not firmly, he's not like a, you know, Amash, you know, representative Amash kind of thing where he's like, no, this is bullshit. We need to impeach.
Yeah. yeah.
But
do you think Giuliani will get arrested?
Well, here's the thing. A lot of, you know, like, Jack was talking about yesterday about how all of these, like all of the other branches are failing to check the executive. The one thing should do is basically because, you know, a lot of people are refusing to comply with these subpoenas from Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So that you would call that contempt of Congress. But then you would have to, since that's a crime, it would ultimately go through the Department of Justice, who would probably refuse to like actually do anything for people in the executive branch. Rudy Giuliani is not an executive branch official. So there is a way, I mean, they could say, a lot of people, there's been an opinion piece written about saying like using the sergeant at arms to arrest someone who's in contempt of Congress, and that could be Rudy Giuliani, to try and basically ratchet up the pressure. I don't know if that's the best option you have, because it seems like right now they're the sentiment is still moving in the right direction, even though they're dragging their feet. But, you know, something definitely has to be done, because we also have the government needs to be funded again in late November.
Yeah.
And we could be in another fucking shutdown, showdown, hoedown.
We will be.
And then what happens then? Are we going to fucking put impeachment up there and then start fighting over that to holding the funding of the government hostage?
Yeah.
You know?
And one kind of sour note is that his approval rating is still like right in line with where it's been like for the past year, basically. 41. So he's 12 points underwater. 12% more people disapprove than approve, but it's still, you know, 41.8% approve.
Jesus.
Which isn't good for a president, but, you know, when we're talking about like where we are in the Nixon timeline, and again, I don't think that's necessarily the right corollary to draw, because this person doesn't have any shame
and also it's Twitter.
Right. Yeah. In the media. And Fox News didn't exist back then. Twitter didn't exist back then. But overall approval rating for Nixon was one of the first things to go south. So I think, you know, it is a different world. But
I mean, I think it has to do with media.
Right.
You can close your loop.
Yeah.
If you're just reading Breitbart, because I don't think Breitbart's been very critical at all at any stage.
No.
Breitbart is, they're not. I think they just—it's like a fantasy site now.
Yeah.
At this point. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're gonna have to start paying attention to the One America News Network, because that's who Trump is pushing people towards now. In addition to telling Fox News that their pollsters suck, he tweeted a compliment to OANN about how great their coverage has been. So.
Oh yeah.
I think he's sending a message.
And when you watch it, it looks like a sketch.
Yeah,
it doesn't look like a real news broadcast. You're like, oh, somebody had a friend who did graphics for their sketch that was parodying a news broadcast.
Yeah, it's sub SNL parody of Fox News quality programming, in terms of what it looks like. So, Miles, real quick, these two guys were arrested for campaign finance violations. They were funneling money from a Russian oligarch into Trump's reelection campaign,
Jesus.
Which seems like it would be a big big news story, were it not just
one
of a thousand bombs.
It's easy to focus on one problem, but how you focus on a thousand problems,
right?
You know what I mean?
So
unless you have Adderall for scandals.
These guys worked specifically for Giuliani, who worked specifically for Trump again. Seems like sort of thing that would be mind-blowing in any other presidency. But they were also, so they were the ones who were pushing people to support the removal of the Ukraine ambassador.
And they were telling people, like, actually, I think she's going to get called back. Like, they were talking like they were already knew the moves of the government.
Whoa.
And a lot of it was because she was in the way of their scams.
Right.
You know, like, because she actually knew what was going on. She's like, yo.
It's a lifelong public servant.
Right.
Right. So,
exactly. And they're like, yo, get this fucking hall monitor out the way.
Right.
And we can start making some real skrill.
The hall monitor.
No, I mean, that's like sort of the vibe, right? And I think, again, this doesn't directly have to do with the Ukraine call, but when you look at, as we talked about earlier this week with Rick Perry, the Department of Energy also having an interest in this other gas company in Ukraine, changing their board so they could buy more gas from the United States and they could make money.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of overlap. So while this isn't directly related to the whistleblower stuff, I'm sure through, as this is, you know, the investigation deepens, they'll find some other connections, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, a story to keep our eye on.
Yeah.
Because, people on the left are comparing it to the Watergate burglars being caught. But I don't know that that is the right comparison, but we'll keep an eye on it.
Also, you know, I want to bring up the murder of Joshua Brown, who is a central figure in the prosecution against Amber Geiger in the murder of Botham Jean. At the time, this guy, Joshua Brown, was the neighbor across the hall, and his testimony basically completely contradicted Amber Geiger's, that she said she gave directions to Botham Jean before firing or whatever, and he was like, I didn't hear anything of that, and the defense completely fell apart. So his testimony was really key in securing this conviction. So about like 4 days later, after the conviction was handed down and her sentencing happened, Joshua Brown was murdered. Right. In what the Dallas police say was a drug deal gone wrong.
Jesus.
They said that these four dudes or three guys from Louisiana reached out to him, drove 4 hours from Louisiana to meet him to buy weed. There was an altercation. Apparently, they said that Joshua Brown had shot one of these men in the chest, who they caught him because this guy was in the hospital with this gunshot wound. And then another person in this party fired back and killed Joshua Brown. The police have then said they found 12 pounds of weed and some THC cartridges and cash. And it seems very odd.
Yeah.
Because again, I don't want to peddle conspiracy theories, but there are many things that I just do not sit well with me. A, that we already have a pattern in this country where people of color who speak out against the police end up somehow being hurt, arrested, or killed.
Yeah.
Especially when you look at the people in Ferguson, Missouri. I think there is almost like six activists
exactly.
who have been found in burning cars.
Yeah.
And killed with, we don't really know what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And with this one, when you have the Dallas police, when we've already seen that, you know, her partner was already willing to delete texts and destroy evidence to try and protect their own. At the very least, you know, I think it is important that I agree with the lawyers of the family of Botham John and Joshua Brown that there should be an independent body that is actually under, like, taking this investigation on. Because
Absolutely.
To many mm-hmm. people, this looks like it stinks like shit. And it, a lot of people pointed out, it's like the Dave Chappelle fucking bit where it's like, let's just frame this black man and sprinkle some crack on him or leave these drugs and money around him. Now, he could have been a drug dealer, but then there's parts of me to find it hard to believe that if he was the key witness against Amber Geiger, that in his cross-examination, they would not have found a way to try and nullify his testimony or his credibility.
Right.
That he was a major
that he was a drug dealer moving right. weight like that.
Yeah.
Or then right after that, all eyes are on you after being in this a witness in this trial. You're still going to make you're going to make these just deals in front of your apartment yeah. complex.
Yeah.
There's
it's
a lot of
too,
things.
And there was probably an appeal coming that rested on that testimony.
Well, he was going to they say he was also possibly going to testify in the civil case against Amber Geiger.
Jesus.
But, you know, on the other side, right, he was involved in a shooting in November of last year at a strip club where someone shot at him. And he was really reluctant to even testify because he was so shook that he was like, I don't know. I don't really want to put myself out there.
Well, there you go.
Because he's like, there is a suspicion, whether it was a retaliation thing or just, you know, the systemic violence that plagues black people in this country.
Yeah.
That there was a fear, but he very much had a fear that something was going to happen to him. And I just think, considering the way that trial went and the pattern we have of people of color being killed, you know, with impunity, that there really should be a proper investigation just to restore people's already rapidly eroding faith in law enforcement in this country.
So I wonder then if, like, are there efforts in place to have a, like, independent body conduct police investigation?
As of right now, the last thing I read, there wasn't. They were just saying, like, rest assured, we're taking this very seriously, and this had nothing to do with his testimony.
Ugh.
And which I get, you have to say that because everybody immediately, they just said, oh, well, he was murdered for, you know, testifying against a police officer.
Yeah, I mean, it's just too convenient.
And yeah, well,
I wonder if they had, like, they had probably talked to him too and said, don't put yourself in dangerous situations. Like,
well, yeah, but I guess this is the thing, right? Where they can, you know, we talk a lot about gun violence sort of in the, when we frame it in mass shootings and things like this, but there's also this systemic violence that people, I think, are just, it's easier for them to accept, right?
Yeah.
Because you can take this narrative, if you are completely outside of this world, you'd say, well, he's a drug dealer, and that's what happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes this is the life they chose.
Yeah.
But again, this guy was a father of three. He had a job. He was managing a company that was renting Airbnbs and stuff.
Oh, my God.
I just don't know. It a lot of things don't add up. I'm still curious to see what kind of other evidence comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to know if he actually did fire a gun, if they are properly doing something. You could do a GSR, like some kind of gunshot residue test on Joshua Brown to see if he did fire a gun.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that I just feel like really needs to come out to for people not to just fully, you know, this
dismiss
is our this case was already very contentious.
Yeah.
So
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And let's talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine. He openly snitched on the 9 Tribe Bloods. And everybody. Yeah.
Joe Biden's a blood.
Yes.
What was he looking blood at time-wise?
I think
he was looking at 49 years at first.
And he ended up with what?
He might get out in 2020 at some point. For cooperating.
Yeah, because he was looking down. Back.
He was looking. Yeah, he could have done 5 dimes probably. And he said, okay, I'll cooperate. And right. I'll point at people and say they're Bloods, and I will fucking, I will be your snitch.
And now he's going into witness protection.
No, he's not going
to.
He refuses to go into
witness protection.
What? Yes. Oh my God. He's going to get shot.
I know.
This is so, okay, right. You'd think someone who is snitching on a gang and his testimony secured racketeering and kidnapping
convictions.
He doesn't
want to lose his career.
Right. His mentality when he was talking about not going to witness protection is like, well, I'll just have round the clock security. It'll be fine. And now it's the people, according to TMZ, he just got a record deal worth more than $10 million with his former label.
Right.
So when he gets out, well, because, you know, like he was pretty popular. And I think they're saying like, yeah, if he gets out, he'll make us two. Like the deal apparently is like make one album English, one Spanish language album. You'll get your money. And hopefully that'll be that.
I mean, that seems like a really irresponsible like offer to make, because then you are making his decision not to enter witness protection like worth it.
Like, I think if I were him, yeah, that's also true. If I were him, I would move to another country.
You have to get rid of your fucking face tattoos. Point blank. You have a 6'9" on your face.
Yeah, I don't think it would work for him to be in witness protection.
No, and like that was the joke everyone was saying, like people were making memes, like where they're like, put him in a Best Buy outfit, and they're like, hi, would you like to buy these Bose headphones? You're like, aren't you Tekashi 6ix9ine?
Yeah.
He has his look, and I think, but see, this is his hubris, right? Because even that famously went on The Breakfast Club, and Charlamagne envied Angela Yee. They were all like, you should knock this off. This isn't what you're doing is dangerous. Like you're playing around in a world that does not play.
Yeah.
Right.
And there is a part of me that sees like maybe there is too much attention on him, that it would take a really brazen attack to try and end his life for that to happen. But, you know, people get killed for less.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
they killed Jeffrey Epstein in jail under federal protection.
Yeah, but that's like the powerful men of the world. Right, I think they have a little bit more power than I think a street gang. But either way.
Yeah.
I think that is sad. I would say sadly.
That the Nine Tray Bloods should be behind climate change denial. But like, yeah, this is a thing where good luck to you, sir. And I think I'd imagine your $10 million is probably going to your around the clock security.
And I really believe even with around the clock security like that, which he will have, he'll be in armored vehicles. He'll have like a wall of bodyguards. He'll maybe wear a bulletproof vest.
Like 50 Cent.
Is he going to do shows?
Yeah, of course. That's how you make money.
Well, how do you have that much security in a show?
He might have to do it like in a Pope mobile.
Right?
You know what I mean?
He has like glasses in front.
Yeah, like he's in a dome.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, wheel me to this side of the stage.
Yeah. Like, festivals.
I don't know. It's again, he clearly, apparently in his mind, that was the best decision to make. And
I mean, he did make $10 million. So.
Yeah. You know, Lord willing, you know, you hate to see somebody get hurt, but it's when you look at this scenario, I would be like, you seem very confident.
Yes.
Jesus. He feels invincible.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Sesame Street. This is one of those stories that when you hear it, it's like, wait, what? But but it actually kind of makes sense.
Okay.
Definitely.
So Sesame Street has a new character named Carly. She was introduced last year. She's Elmo's green-haired friend. She first appeared, like the first thing you kind of learned about her is that she was in foster care.
Right.
But now we're finding out the reason she's in foster care is that she has a parent struggling with addiction.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and a lot, specifically, I think opioids.
Yeah.
Because the makers of the show were just sort of looking around like, we really don't have the kind of content that is touching this specific demographic of our audience.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the addiction data shows that around 5.7 million children under the age of 11 that live in households with a parent with substance abuse disorders. So, you know, in this segment, they were working with like some child psychologists at the Betty Ford Center to really try and craft like things and language that would really help like a child sort of navigate whatever the world they are in. And they said in the segment, Carly and this other, this little girl, Salia, they each hold up hand-drawn pictures of flowers with multiple petals representing big feelings like anger, sadness, and happiness. They offer ways to feel better, including art and breathing exercises. The segment leans on carefully considered language. Creators prefer addiction to substance abuse and recovery to sobriety because those terms are clear to children. And despite the subject, the mood was light in the room. And, you know, people were just like, it went off well, but it seems... It's interesting, you know, like that's sort of where we've reached a tipping point, I guess, societally, where we're like, you know, the people who make Sesame Street are also like, we really need to also be able to, you know, make these children feel seen, or at least have something they can respond to.
Yeah. And I think Mr. Rogers, if you saw that documentary, he had the same approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where it was like the point of the show in some way, or at least part of the mission should be how to teach kids to deal with pain.
Yeah.
Right.
Death.
Right.
Difference. And I think this falls under that. I do think it makes it even sadder that Sesame is going to HBO Max.
Yeah. It does suck.
Oh, is it fully, it's no longer be publicly funded?
Yeah.
Is it because our public funding has just been gutted constantly that it just keeps taking hits to the workshop?
Like, I don't think it's Sesame Street's fault necessarily because the funding model is so difficult now, but it is a bummer because I don't.
Yeah. New episodes will be on HBO Max. So you just have to make
sure the archives?
Okay with like the archives.
I want to put down the ducky?
Reruns. Yeah, I think those are available other places.
On YouTube, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Pretty sure you can watch Put Down the Ducky on YouTube.
That's true.
Yeah.
I love that one.
That's a good point.
Celia Cruz is in that.
Wow!
Too.
For real?
Yeah, I remember. I was like, yo, who's that lady with the swag?
Did you look her up?
I was like, Celia Cruz, Azúcar.
Well, speaking of children's entertainment dealing with some heavy issues, let's talk about Harry Potter Con. Is that what it's called?
What does leaky have to do with it?
Leaky cauldron.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, okay, this is why I brought this story up. I famously know fuck all about Harry Potter. Mm. I know buzzwords.
You are famous for that.
Yeah.
Buzzwords.
Famously.
You can say that you're a Hufflepuff if you need to in conversation.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm a Slytherin bro. I went as a Slytherin bro for Halloween one year where I had a Slytherin trucker cap.
That's awesome.
And I was like, what's up, dude? A blonde wig.
That's such a good costume.
Yeah. It was stupid.
Dude, the Succession theme song.
Yes.
On loop, dude.
Oh, God. Someone needs to dress up as that for Halloween this year.
As the Succession theme song?
Yeah,
oh,
and just be playing it.
Yeah, just a boombox. So this story came out, and I wanted to add, because I don't know nothing, but the takes that I was reading about it that were just basically saying, like, the panels at the 10th annual LeakyCon in Boston that's happening this weekend, they're saying, like, yo, some of these are kind of intense. Some were, like, light that Jack responded to. The one was, like, Harry Potter and the Failing Wizardry Economy.
Right.
Is that the people who are reselling Harry Potter shit?
No. I think this has...
No.
So
it's the Gringotts-fueled economy.
I think we thought this through for a series that we made back at Cracked that was basically like envisioning the future of the Harry Potter universe and like Harry Potter just being, you know, somebody who peaked in high school, basically.
Ooh.
And the economy was something that like I ended up spending a lot of time thinking about that didn't even make it into the show, but like the fact that Harry Potter, like the wizarding world is completely separate, so they have no technological innovation.
Don't need them.
They don't need it.
Right.
Like, if you need to go make a deposit, you go to Gringotts.
Right.
There's no online banking.
There's
What's
no online
Gringotts?
Banking.
The central bank.
Right.
Is that where them gremlins live?
The goblins.
Goblins?
Yeah.
Yep.
One of the things that J.K. Rowling has specifically said is that for a long time, wizards would just shit where they stood and make the shit disappear.
Oh, right.
That is not true. I respect J.K. Rowling in many ways, but
respectfully, fuck that.
Yeah, I reject that premise.
Well, but if you think about it, why would they invent like plumbing?
Well,
indoor
here's
plumbing?
My counterpoint.
They don't
Moaning
need
Myrtle
to.
Hangs out in that girl's restroom. So
right.
Do they just have nothing in the stalls?
Right.
Yeah, what's Moaning good. Myrtle?
Moaning
oh,
Myrtle
Miles.
Is the ghost who haunts.
Who's
Hogwarts
who's mad constipated? That's why she's moaning.
Yeah,
she's but yeah,
moaning.
She got IBS.
I thought a good corollary was the South prior to the Civil War, and then in the immediate aftermath of the Civil War, because they were so reliant on
King Cotton
and slavery, and then once that was taken away, they were just kind of fucked.
And so, is your hypothesis that without magic, the economy would collapse?
Yes.
You know, and in The Magicians, they lose magic. Spoiler alert. Sorry.
Uh-oh.
We're far beyond that point in the show. So, and The Magicians is very similar to Harry Potter. So if Harry Potter ever becomes a TV show, which I feel certain that it
right.
will.
Yeah.
Because, like, fuck Fantastic Beasts. We don't need those useless movies with Johnny Depp.
Honestly.
but when the TV show of Harry Potter comes and they continue the saga beyond the books,
right.
I think at some point it will be a plot
yeah.
point to lose magic. And I agree with you.
They got to go get jobs and shit.
Yeah. They
think
don't...
about the Harry Potter kids trying to integrate into our world.
They have
and
no
like,
internet.
Not knowing how, like, the internet
Rob Ron Weasley's ass.
Right.
Like, I'm like, come up those fucking AirPods, bro.
Yeah, you won't get much because he's poor.
Right. Oh.
The Weasleys are
Who's rich?
Famously
Who's,
poor.
Is Hermione rich?
She's middle class.
Who's rich? Like, who,
Harry
who's like a
is
1%er?
Rich. Harry inherited a lot glasses. Of money from his parents.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? When I see you, Harry, I'm taking your AirPods.
Yeah.
So some of these panels, right? There was right. that one. I'm glad that kicked off an entire thing.
Right.
Another one is rape culture in the wizarding world.
What?
Yes. That's a one-hour panel.
What?
Yeah.
Where do you
I think this
go
is important.
With that?
Okay, so what were we talking about? The potion that makes people fall in love with you. So
You're
it takes
right.
away
consent.
Their consent.
And
their agency.
Wow.
No.
There's also like a really dark thing with the centaurs and that teacher who like nobody liked, who was secretly, I guess she was evil, but they basically uh-huh. had her get gang raped. And,
by
like,
centaurs?
By Wait, centaurs.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, right. What's her name? Umbridge.
Umbridge, yes. There's some really dark
shit. Dolores Umbridge.
She
gets gang raped?
It's heavily implied.
Oh, I wonder if she took umbridge with that.
Yeah.
Hey-o!
Hey!
God, I'm sorry. I'm gonna go.
But I do think just you could have an hour-long discussion just based on
Damn.
The
Those
idea
kinds
of a
things.
Love potion.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Well, that's interesting, yeah. too, because I guess at a certain point, like, as the readers get older, they are having these thoughts. They're like, hold on, actually, this is kind of fucked up.
Right.
Yeah.
Or do you think, I wonder if these panels are going to be like pro con, or someone might argue that in a world of magic, like what is consent? Because it's a world where it could be so.
I hope that is what they're
that
arguing.
There's someone. No, I mean, like you'd imagine there's right. probably someone with a spicy take on this. We're like, actually, yeah. that's impossible.
Right.
Yeah. Like if you're willing to get love potion, you had it coming.
Right. Yeah. It's like, or how do you know that the magic was actually robbing them of their agency when really deeply they did want to be with this person and purely the potion was meant to unlock their heart?
Right. Somebody hadn't cast a spell saying they wouldn't be in love with them.
Right. It's like, okay.
Spicy take.
Anyway, right. But can you imagine like what the write ups will be over the weekend? It's like, these panels descended into chaos.
I do think Harry Potter fans tend toward the left.
I mean, I think people who engage with literature, like at that point, maybe,
tend toward the left in some way.
But
Harry
hey,
Potter is well, also, thematically about diversity and peace.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
I think people under the age of like 35, dramatically tend to the left.
That's
so,
true. Yeah.
What about, there's another one, for better or worse, the place of Harry Potter in current political discussions. Now does, I don't even know what that means. Like, what are you going to...
What would Harry Potter do if he were around today in 2019? Cancel culture? Would he?
Right. Yeah. Is Harry Potter canceled? I'm sure it would be about... Is Harry Potter a 1%er?
Yeah.
And then another one. Hagrid, Half-Bloods, and Squibs. One drop rule? What's one drop rule?
Oh, it's if you have a drop of muggle blood.
That,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a thing from like racial politics during the Jim Crow era.
Oh, okay.
Like if you had, I think it was like, you know, 1/16.
Whatever. Oh, like blood quantum stuff. Okay, got it.
That is where that comes from. But I assume that's being applied to.
What are squibs?
Yeah.
Not just the thing for visual effects on a set where you're simulating
or
gunfire?
That blood comes out of a squib? Yeah.
No, that's what it is.
Oh.
No, I have no idea. I have no idea what it means in this
Maybe it's
context.
A slur for like a
Probably.
Half-blood.
Yeah.
Dang. And this is a talk being given by Dr. Keshana Taylor, PhD.
Hell yeah.
In what?
I don't know. It just says University of California. Oh, which one?
I really
Very
hope.
Very vague.
Yeah, right?
I'm like, do they think like it's like a movie where you're like, and I went to the University of California. It's like, hold on. It's a whole system, man.
Yeah.
Which one? LA? Berkeley?
Riverside?
SD?
I think when they say University of California, it's usually Berkeley, right?
Really? Not LA?
I mean, Cal. You would refer to Berkeley as Cal, but I've never heard anyone just say University of California and been like, okay.
Right.
I'm like, which fucking one?
Yeah.
Okay. And even like this one seems a little bit interesting because there's a lot of, it sounds like Women of Color, Delia Gallegos from Black Girls Create. There's something called the Harry Potter Alliance, you know, so shout out to y'all. And finally, Hufflepuff guide to self-care. Recharging your badger batteries when being the loyal friend is exhausting. What that
oh my
means.
God.
I have no fucking
clue. Hufflepuffs
are nurturers.
And like empaths, basically.
Yeah, I unfortunately am a Hufflepuff.
And so this might, so is that why you laughed? Because it resonated with you?
Well, first of all, I'm not a Hufflepuff. I'm supposed to be a
Slytherin. You're a fucking human, actually.
Everybody wants to be a Slytherin.
Yeah, I'm a Slytherin, but I did take the test and get Hufflepuff, which is notoriously the worst, lamest one.
Because they're like crunchy.
Yeah, but they're not even good. Ravenclaws are smart.
Right.
Gryffindors are brave.
Like empathetic and nice is a good quality.
Yeah, but no good characters are Hufflepuffs.
I tested Hufflepuff
Yeah, and I even took it trying to get Slytherin.
Yeah.
Who are the edgy people that are good at math and smoke weed?
Ravenclaw.
Okay, that's me.
Right?
Yeah, although I do think Gryffindor has a bit of that. Like you'd get some disaffected smart kids.
Right.
Who are like, I don't want to try in school, but like.
But like, I can, even if I get, if I half ass it, I'm getting straight A's. Yeah. And all my teacher's like, if you only applied yourself, you could go even higher.
Exactly.
I'm like, watch me get higher right now. Get out my face and my twist this touch up. And lastly, integrating Harry Potter into academic research and therapeutic practice.
I mean, I can see that. I can see it being useful for therapy for somebody who like grew up with Harry Potter being like the main text that they
My mind goes to like you go to get Reiki and they're like, and I'm this is a stone from Harry Potter.
I'm like, I don't fucking heal me with this shit. That sounds soothing.
It reminds me of that story about the autistic child who like could never speak to anybody, and then his dad started like at one point just on a whim started talking to him as the parrot character from Aladdin.
Zazu?
Like,
hey.
Oh, yeah.
Iago, I think.
Oh, yeah. Which one's Zazu?
He's from Lion King, I think.
Oh,
Wow. And then the kids just started speaking back to him because like he had like built his whole world around Disney
stuff.
Was
that a Radio Lab or
something? It was either a Radio Lab or This American Life. But yeah, so I mean, I'm sure there are people who have varying levels on that spectrum of attachments to Harry Potter. So like as a, you know, somebody who practices therapy, it's probably a new modality.
I will say I'll never forget my first encounter with hardcore Harry Potter culture. Cause like I went to the book release parties. I would read the books.
What's a book release party? Like Barnes you just line up would, outside of a Barnes and Noble?
Yeah. When it came out, they would, I assume Borders and all the others did it too, but they would, and Books a Million maybe too. But they would have like food for you to eat. There would be games. There would be music. They would basically shut down. I mean, I guess you could still shop at the store, but it would just be turned into
a
party.
Over.
Everyone would dress up.
Right.
And those were so. And you would buy the book. You had to pre-order it, of course.
Right.
Sure. You would just read it that night. Mm-hmm. Like you would just sit there and read it
in the bookstore.
No, I did leave and read it. But
you think there are people who are speed reading to flex on everyone in the store and be like. Oh, you're not going to believe what I just read.
Hell yeah.
God, there was no Twitter when those books came out.
Oh, my God.
Because fuck that.
Because was that like a thing you would flex, be like how quickly you get through the book, too? And be like, actually, just read it right now, 1 hour, okay?
Yes, yes.
I mean, there's always kids who are like smart and fast readers who would just be like, done, like as you were getting through the first paragraph. I'm a slow reader, guys.
Aw. Yeah, you do use your finger.
And sound out the words out loud. Yeah.
Across the word.
Harry Potter. Expelliarmus.
Anna, it's been a pleasure having you, as always, on the Daily Zeitgeist. This our 2-year anniversary show, 2 days late.
How do we even know
We're
anymore?
So bad at this. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's my fault. I never remember to celebrate anniversaries.
I know, Jack. And dinner was cold last night when you came home late.
Where can people find you?
You can find me at Bad Comics with an X by Anna, Bad Comics by Anna on Instagram and Twitter. And also I'm crowdfunding my short film Foghorn right now. There's links on my Instagram and on my Twitter. It's a Seed and Spark campaign. Please, if you're listening, donate. The movie is like an extension of my comic voice. And
it's a biopic of Foghorn Leghorn.
It's a biopic of Foghorn Leghorn. Right.
Hell yeah.
No, it's about a vagina that starts emitting a foghorn. And it, like, it's a surreal comedy.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, please check it out.
Dang.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, okay. This is good. A friend of mine tweeted You know how every girl goes through a Lewis Anderson phase? And I misread it and thought she said Lori Halse Anderson, the young adult author who wrote like gritty dramas about 13-year-old girls. Mm. And I responded, I did. And I was like, wait, I don't know who this person is. And I'm like afraid she's going to reply and be like, oh my God, I'm so happy I found another Lewis Anderson right. fan. Yeah, if anyone knows who Lewis Anderson is, tweet at me.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Louis Anderson.
Right.
Is that it?
Well, no, but it's not spelled Lewis. It's L-O-U-I-E.
So oh.
It wouldn't be like the French Louis.
I can't figure it out. And I it's like, it's like all caps, exclamation point, I did.
I am a Lewis Anderson.
And now I don't want to delete it because that's weird. Is she going to be like, why'd she delete it?
Avoid the L at all costs.
Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A couple of tweets I like. One really good one is from at Tammy DeBush Pilot. It says, just in, you know, asterisks, watching the Joker movie under breath. I could fix him.
Oh my God.
Tammy, don't. You can't fix him. Don't save him. He don't want to be saved. And yeah, also, October 16th at the Hungry Brain in Chicago, 7 p.m., check out Shireen Yunez and super producer Anna Hosnier doing Ethnically Ambiguous live show as part of the Chicago Podcast Festival. So check that website out and get your tickets. Pull up, represent, and hold it down.
Do it. Tweet I've been enjoying at NoTalentAC tweeted, tip when making a sex tape, play Disney music in the background. That way, if it gets leaked online, Disney attorneys will have them all taken down.
That's so smart.
Very smart. You can find me on Twitter. Oh, and I also like Matt Oswalt's one. Everyone's angry at Ellen for sitting with George Bush, yet Kelly Clarkson gets a free pass for beating the shit out of Jimmy Carter. It's just a picture of Jimmy Carter looking
with his black eye.
Yeah, with his black
eye. He fell.
And Dan Chamberlain tweeted, okay, so you live in the rafters of the Opera House. That don't impress me much.
Oh my God. God, that's good.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
This is from a little EP called 25th Street Sessions, which is a collaboration between Kerry McCoy and Antonio Williams, a.k.a. Antoine. And it's when I was first listening to it, I'm like, is this from the 80s? And it isn't. It just has a great sort of synthy vibe and good vocals that are haunting, but wonderful. So this changes, you know, the world is changing, and I'm sure by the time Monday comes, many things will be changed.
All right. That's what we're going to ride into the weekend on. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Have a good one. Bye. I thought I knew one who told me I kept it safe. Got caught up in love and can't make it through the day. Now all I think of is how will I run away. Buried in the problems I felt yesterday. 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 Buried in the problems I felt yesterday. Yesterday.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jordan Gonsalves, and I'm a journalist. Join me on my new podcast, But We Loved, coming May 15th, where queer elders recount the amazing history they've lived through.
In the middle of Wall Street, they stopped traffic. They were doing a die-in.
And in the process, share little gems of wisdom for the next generation.
The key is to understanding yourself, learning to love and embrace yourself.
You can listen to But We Loved May 15th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.